congratulations on getting to your 9 to 5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive. You were listening to The Drive on 96.5 The Fan, 96.5thefan.com, and also the Odyssey app. We have had a lot happen in today's show. If you missed it, we had a Missouri State rep join us on the show. We'll play the best of that conversation for you guys coming up at 5:30. We played the Kansas rep yesterday, so I want you guys on your drive home to hear what the Missouri side had to say. We had Dan Hawkins on the show yesterday, and today we had Mark Sharp on the show. We'll play that for you in just a little bit. Before we get into some of the top stories, let's talk about some breaking news in the National Football League. The NFL and the owners unanimously voted that their players will be allowed to participate in flag football in the 2028 Olympics. So the Olympics are going to be in Los Angeles. That will be July 14th through the 30th in Los Angeles. And for the first time in the Olympic history, they are adding flag football. Patrick Mahomes was asked about this now 2 years ago. He was asked about this in November of 2023, and he said that he'd be interested in participating in the Olympics.
Oh, I definitely want to. I've seen some of those guys play the flag football, and they're a little faster than I am. I know there's not like a lot of linemen blocking for you. So I'll be 31, 32 years old. So if I can still move around, then I'm gonna try to get out there and throw the football around. Maybe in LA. Just don't tell Coach Reed or Veach or anybody.
Now I am a little bit torn on this. On one side, I don't think that NFL players should be allowed to participate in the Olympics. Now, I understand that playing in the Olympics is really cool. And I understand that this is something that no group of NFL players have ever had the opportunity. I bet it's really cool to be an Olympic athlete. You get to be in the Olympic Village. You get to participate in the opening ceremonies. Like, there are a lot of advantages, I'm guessing. From a brand building standpoint, if you are an NFL player, it seems like a really good time to participate in the Olympics. I don't really think that it fits the competition of spirit and what I think the purpose of the Olympics are. Football is not an international and world game the way that so many other sports that we have are. Swimming is international. Track and field is international. Basketball, baseball, tennis. We are talking about international games. That's not what tackle football is. So I just don't see the overwhelming benefits from a competitive standpoint in allowing these people the opportunity to compete in a sport in which we know they're going to dominate. What country are you guys worried about in the Olympics? Is there another country that you think can keep up with the United States if their plan is to send Lamar Jackson and whoever the star running back is in 3 years? They're going to send Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Patrick Surtain. What country do you think is the biggest challenger to them? It is okay that football is different. It's not baseball. Baseball is a truly international game. The best player in the world is from Japan. In basketball, the best player in the world is from Serbia. The player who is going to win NBA MVP is from Toronto, Canada. That's not what tackle football is. So now we're going to allow these guys to go and they're going to dominate accountants and plumbers from Spain? I just don't think it really makes a lot of sense from a competitive standpoint. This is where I feel hypocritical, because on one side, I do feel that way. I don't think that the NFL players should be allowed to go. I think it violates what the spirit of the award is. It feels like just a cheap gold medal for the United States. We're not talking about this being a true competition. This is a commercial for the NFL. I don't think that's what the Olympics should be. I don't have a problem with Patrick going if he wants to go. I'm going to guess. I don't know. I don't know all the official flag football rules, and they are in the process of creating what they're going to be for the Olympics. I'm assuming that they're not really going to have the quarterbacks running a whole lot in this thing. I'm just going to go out on a limb and guess. If the NFL has said yes, they're not letting Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson really run around in these things. I'm guessing it's going to be very light 7-on-7 passing drills for Patrick Mahomes. And if Pat wants to go to L.A. for a week and throw the ball to Tyreek Hill again or throw the ball to Jamar Chase or whomever that star receiver is in 3 years, and we're talking about a zero-risk situation, I mean, he's not running. He's not cutting. These are just light passing drills. This is basically Camp Pat that they're going to televise on NBC. I don't really have much of an issue with this. I will be very curious to see how serious NFL teams take this. So the rule is going to be that they are going to allow one player per team, and it sounds like they are also going to be open to creating a salary cap provision if a player gets hurt during this time. So if you send Malik Nabers over there and he tears his ACL, there's going to be a salary cap provision for Malik Nabers because he technically got hurt in a non-football. You guys know the spirit of the rule that they have. So we'll obviously see what happens. I don't have a problem if Patrick wants to participate in this. It seems like a very low-risk situation for him. I just think that it violates what the spirit of the Olympics is. Football is not like the other sports that we watch in terms of international interest and competition. This is a way for the United States to go bully these other teams in flag football against players that we have never heard of before. I just don't, that's just not what I think the Olympics should be. Where are you at, Rob? You want this?
So we talked about it yesterday. I'm torn. Because on the one side, I agree with you. The spirit of the Olympics is competition and camaraderie. It's not to bring our sport and just throttle everyone. That is not the purpose. But I would tell you that I'm sure in 92, when basketball made the Olympics and the NBA players got to play in it, the thought was they're about to throttle everyone. And they did. They humiliated everyone. But since that moment, and it is not just me saying this, it is a lot of smart basketball people say, that's when the international games start picking up because other sports start playing the sport. So if you want, if you're Roger Goodell or you're one of the owners of the NFL and you want your sport to be viewed on the same international scale as soccer or basketball or golf or one of those sports is, you have to have people from Germany playing it. More than just the handful that do the international gate pathway thing for the NFL. You got to have people in Venezuela playing it. You got to get people in Canada playing your version of it, not Canadian football. So I agree with you on the whole. In 2028, it's about to be a bloodshed. It's about to look bad. It's about to be if me and you play 2-on-2 against some kindergartners. Just a bad look. But I think the NFL and football as an entity's hope is that in 10 to 14, 16, however many Olympic years down the road, it does look competitive. And now, hey, suddenly Brazil, who has seen NFL games and now watches the Olympics, fields a team that suddenly does have a level of competition with the United States. So I get both sides. I lean your direction, but I don't think it's a bad thing to have in the Olympics. And I also think, for that 92 example, the Dream Team, it became growing in other sport in other countries, not because Christian Laettner and the best college players went over there. It grew because Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan were over there.
Well, yeah, but I also think there are just other fundamental things that I just don't think that we are discussing. Like someone on the text line says, wouldn't basketball have been the same? I mean, there were good international players before. Now, right, we saw a growth of it through then. I mean, we saw a growth in basketball to the point where, I mean, the third time that the United States sent NBA players over there, they lost the gold medal. So we are talking about this happened in a very short period of time where the United States went from overwhelming dominance in the Olympics in 92 to losing the gold medal the third time that they went over there. I also think what is a very important conversation in this is, how many kids do you need to play football at a high level overseas? Because in basketball, it's very different. You need 12 kids to play basketball overseas, right? Like, if you're in Spain, you need 12, 15 kids to play basketball. You need the numbers that I think you need to play football in other countries. I just think they've already decided what sport they want to play. They play soccer in these countries. That's what they do. They're best athletes. They push them in one direction. Go play soccer. They've been playing NFL football for a long time. They've been playing the NFL for 100 years. Rob, who's the quarterback not from America? Who's the running back not from America? Who's the wide receiver? Who's the tight end? it's not like international basketball players is a new concept. We can name them in the 90s. Now there started to be more and more and more. If you're telling me that you think that the flag football is going to do more for the international mission than playing regular season games over there, they've been playing international games for how long? It's not like the international games just started. They've been playing games in London for 15 years. Where is the influx of quarterbacks and running backs and tight ends and D tackles that are doing this? Football's just not that game. Football's our thing. And that's cool that it's our thing. That's a big reason why it's so popular in America, is there's one pathway, really, to go to the NFL. You go to an American high school, you're really good at that American high school. You go to an American college, you're really good, and then you go to the NFL. That's not how it is in the NBA or baseball or some of these other sports. So I just don't know why we need to act like it is those other sports. It doesn't make sense to me to have the United States, the professional players. Now, sure, if you want to create an amateur league and, hey, we're going to create a flag football for guys that didn't go pro. Hey, you guys go through this little set of things and we're going to send these guys against these. That's to me what the spirit of the Olympics is. But watching Justin Jefferson go up against some guy from Egypt, it just doesn't make any sense to me. Like, we already know what's about to happen. He's about to cook this individual. That guy has no ability to guard Justin Jefferson. None. This just seems like a waste of everybody's time. We can move on from this. There's certainly a lot of other things happening. I just wanted to give you guys my opinion on this breaking news that the NFL is going to allow their players to participate in flag football. Rob, let's talk about Joe Tooney for our first hit.
Your workday is over.
Oh, yeah.
You're headed home. And now you're stuck in traffic. Time to get caught up on the biggest stories in Kansas City and around the country with CDOT and Rob. It's time for the hits. Number one.
Karen Jen, as always, hits are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, as you mentioned, Carrington, former Chiefs left guard Joe Tooney, current Bears left guard, has a new deal with the Chicago Bears, but we're not going to get into the nitty-gritty about his extension in Chicago, because who cares?
I actually think we do need to get into the nitty-gritty of it. This is actually a pretty good deal, I would say, for Joe Tooney. He has signed a 3-year, $51 million deal that guarantees him $33.5 million. Now, if you were looking at that through the same lens of what we just saw Trey Smith get, Trey Smith right now has a 1-year contract for the Kansas City Chiefs that guarantees him $23.4 million. So, I think it is twofold. Number one, the Chiefs desperately need to reach a long-term extension with Trey Smith. He cannot play this season as a right guard with a $23.4 million cap hit. He cannot do this. You have to work something out that lowers his cap hit, that allows you some financial flexibility, because you made a pretty difficult decision. I know that Joe Tooney is up there in age. Joe Tooney is still one of the best offensive linemen in the National Football League. And you made the decision to move on for that player largely due to finances. It was not because of production. You moved on from this player because of the money. You didn't want to give him this extension. You do want to extend Trey Smith. Well, then extend Trey Smith. And now we got to see what that extension looks like. The Chiefs are taking a little bit of a gamble here. The Chiefs are taking a gamble on, we are going to make the right decision, at least in the short term, on moving on from Joe Tooney versus keeping Trey Smith. They also have made the decision, well, some of this money that we didn't give to Joe Tooney, we gave some of that to Jalen Moore, and we think that now he can be an every down starter in the National Football League. We don't have that answer. There are a lot of things, I would say, with the Chiefs that feel like certainties at this point. If Isaiah Pacheco is healthy, I think we know what to expect from Isaiah Pacheco. I think we know what to expect from their wide receivers. I think we know what to expect from their defensive line. There are a lot of areas on this team that I think there is a high degree of certainty. I don't think anybody can tell you about their offensive line, not even them. Jalen Moore has never been a consistent starter in the National Football League. You are now asking him to be that. We're not talking about a spot start here or there for Trent Williams. No, we've given you the job now. We're talking about you playing games in December. We're talking about you playing games in January and February and you being an anchor for a Super Bowl team. Kingsley Suamataia, we're talking about a guy who flamed out pretty badly at the first thing they asked him to do. Now you're asking him to do something different. Now we'll see if he can have success, and it is easier to play left guard than it is to play left tackle in the National Football League, but still he is an uncertainty going into the season. The Chiefs have a lot of either periods or exclamation points on their team. They do have a few question marks. They got two big question marks at left tackle and left guard. They don't have a lot of question marks on their team. That's how you go 15-2 in the regular season and go to a third consecutive Super Bowl. There's not a lot of uncertainty about this team. But a major reason of why they didn't win the Super Bowl last year was uncertainty at left tackle. They still have uncertainty at left tackle. And the reason that they created and moved the deck chairs around was because they made the decision to move on from Joe Tooney. I didn't think they were going to do that. I thought they were going to do basically what Chicago did. Let's extend him. Let's move the money down the line. And then let's use the cap space that we have to try to strengthen the rest of our roster. I mean, that's not what they did with Joe Tooney. They just outright traded him and then used that cap space to go out and do some different moves. So I actually think that all of the money matters with Joe Tooney, how they spent the money, how they allocated those resources, and ultimately we'll find out if they were right or wrong in how they handled their offensive line this offseason.
I think the million-dollar question, and I can ask you the million-dollar question, but you probably don't have an answer. The million-dollar question is this. Would you rather have Joe Tooney at that contract and Suamataia at right guard, or would you rather have Suamataia at left guard and Trey Smith at maybe not that contract, but a very, very hefty contract? That is the question that we are going to ask, and the Chiefs are going to have to answer, and they're going to have to get right. Because if Joe Tooney is still got a lot of football up in his body, and he's quality, and Trey Smith never lives up to his contract, then the Chiefs messed up this offseason. I don't care about Simmons versus Jalen Moore. If they took the worst player and made him the more expensive player, then the Chiefs messed up. It really boils down to that for me along their offensive line. And now that we know the number for Joe Tooney, it's something the Chiefs should have probably done on March 21st, or at least I would like the Chiefs to have done that on March 20, I guess not 21st, but 20 whatever, when free agency opened up.
Yeah, I mean, I was very interested in keeping Joe Tooney. I think they were too. I just think they simply made a decision. You can't pay everybody, and they made the decision that Joe Tooney is just not someone that we are going to pay. I don't think they're wrong in that decision. And if you were telling me or explaining the logic where the Chiefs made the decision, we have a 25-year-old guard that we love and a 33-year-old guard that we love, and we can only pick one of them, I think they made the right decision. You take the 25-year-old, and then you move on, and you take the draft pick compensation. But, I mean, it is a chance. It is a gamble. The Chiefs have a question mark on the left side of their offensive line the exact same way that they had heading into the Super Bowl, and we'll see as time progresses if those question marks turn into periods or exclamation points. What's hit number two?
Number two.
Speaking of the Kansas City Chiefs, Carrington, hit number two is kind of about the Chiefs. It's the other side of the state, which we've spent a lot of time talking about today when it comes to the show. But the STL Hub, whatever that is, we're talking about the Chiefs and the schedule on their show, and they are, as St. Louisans, upset by one thing with the Chiefs.
Brooke, you know what? One thing I hate?
What?
I hate the fact that the Kansas City Chiefs are just shoved down St. Louis's throat because they want this market so badly. Randy. And so they make it so that all of their games are on TV in St. Louis. It's terrible. Randy. I hate it. Yes.
That's
I hate
people
it.
People do.
So, I mean, I get the schedule yesterday. Late last night. You know, they've got eight games, the Chiefs, Kansas City Chiefs. They have eight standalone games, seven in primetime, one on Thanksgiving, that apparently are being directed only to St. Louis. Eight of them.
Apparently.
Plus four more. They're playing the Broncos, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Eagles. They're all playing them at 3:25 in the afternoon. And it's only apparently going to like 5% of the country because they're trying to shove the Chiefs down our throat.
Well, you didn't know that.
12 of their 16 games that
they're
are scheduled to this
They're trying to force
point.
You to be a Chiefs fan. Whether you want to or not, yeah. You have to be a Chiefs fan if you live here in St. Louis. It's Missouri's team, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I'm really mad that I don't know why they do this to us. It would be different if the Chiefs were any good. and they got any national TV games. But apparently we're only getting like Sunday night football, Monday night football, Thursday night football, Thanksgiving football. We only get those here in St. Louis. The rest of the country is not having the Chiefs shoved it down their throat.
Carrington, is it fair or foul by this STL hub to feel like the Chiefs, Kansas City's team, are being jammed down their throat? Or is this just what happens because the Chiefs are on national TV so often?
Are you interested in watching the best? If you're interested in watching the best, why are you against watching Chiefs games? This is a cycle that we see in all sports. They're going to showcase the best. We watch a lot of college football, Rob. They put a lot of the Alabama games on at night. A lot of the Ohio State games get nationally televised attention. They get the best broadcasters, the biggest crowds. They get game day because they're the best. We have enough evidence of who the best is in the National Football League, who drives interest, who drives the attention. It's the Chiefs. So if you don't want the Chiefs on TV all the time, there's a couple of things you can do. Number one, I would advocate for you to get the Sunday ticket. And when the Chiefs are playing at 325 and they've got the national game of the week, you know, Nance is on the call, Romo is on the call, they usually have a game opposite of that. I mean, it's going to be Cardinals-Raiders. Only about 2% of the country is going to have access to that game. But you can watch Cardinals, Raiders. Maybe you don't want to get Sunday ticket. Why don't you pull up Stream East and you can watch the game opposite the Chiefs? Or do you want to watch the best quarterbacks, the best coaches, the best defenses, the best teams, the best storylines? Well, then you're going to be watching the Chiefs. You had your chance for your own 325 games in St. Louis. They moved. So no, you're going to sit back and you're going to watch the Chiefs. You're going to enjoy the Chiefs. You're going to love the Chiefs. Or if not, you know what I would suggest you do? I would find a new hobby on Sundays. Because you only have two choices Sunday at 325 anymore if you live in this country and you want to watch football. You want to watch the Cowboys or the Chiefs? 1 week you can watch the Cowboys. Maybe we'll give you the Eagles on Fox. Or whenever it's an AFC game, you're watching the Chiefs. Every 325, you're watching the Chiefs. So, I don't know what to tell you. Get used to it. Because you got another decade to go of watching Chiefs games. You got another decade to go if you want to keep up with the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, coming up on the other side, we had a Missouri State rep on the show earlier today. We're going to play the best of that conversation for you. We had a Kansas rep on yesterday. We want to keep that going. And we're going to play the Missouri rep for you guys today. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
All right, earlier today we had on Mark Sharp. He is in the Missouri House of Representatives. Yesterday we had somebody from the Kansas side on, so I want to be balanced and I want to give you guys the Missouri side of this. So there is a bill right now that is being proposed that would fund the Royal Stadium and would also help pay for renovations at Arrowhead. This bill failed, and they are working on having a special session to get things back up. We had Mark Sharp on the show to talk about this. Here he is on why this bill passed in the House of Representatives, but ultimately failed in the Missouri Senate.
Oh, yeah. Everyone in Jeff City, especially in that building, understands why it didn't pass. It didn't pass because people don't want to support the Chiefs or the Royals or any other future endeavors, maybe on the St. Louis side, that this program could take on. But there was a bill, and some folks probably don't know this, but Senate Bill 19 was a humongous omnibus capital improvements bill that contained, you know, more than 60 plus capital improvement projects across the state. And that bill died basically because some folks weren't getting along, and essentially the House budget chairman killed that bill. Now, folks are very upset about this, and they should be. So the plan now is essentially we're waiting for the governor to call a date for us to come back to Jeff City One, we need to go back and approve that Senate Bill 19, make sure that the legislators are happy again, and then we can pull up the Chiefs and Royals funding project. But that's kind of where we're at right now. We're playing this waiting game.
I don't know. It hits my ear kind of funny. Maybe it hits people listening to this. There's opposition inside Missouri politics on whether or not we want to fight to keep the Royals and the Chiefs. Like you say, there are people in Missouri government that don't support, I guess, keeping the teams or helping fund the teams. It just sounds like that is the exact opposite thing that what is happening in Kansas. Everybody appears to be on the same side. We want the Royals. We want the Chiefs. You don't feel like that's happening in Missouri?
Well, it shouldn't be. It should not be contingent upon other projects being funded. But you have people. There's a human element, right? You have folks that are upset because, you know, folks in St. Louis may not necessarily care about what's happening in Kansas City. All they know is my project for $50 million didn't get funded to help this hospital out. So you have folks who are upset, and I get being upset. But we had a chance, and again, the Missouri House approved this measure. This all unfolded and really kind of went up in smoke in the Missouri Senate. You had folks on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, that were, and again, these were not Kansas City folks. These were folks that were from different parts of the state. Folks in Kansas City were in lockstep. We wanted to make sure that we supported our teams. You know, Representative Chris Brown, who I believe was the sponsor of the amendment on the House side, said it best. I mean, these are Missouri teams, and they need to stay in Missouri. So we feel that way. Unfortunately, we're going to have to make some folks happy, it looks like, with Senate Bill 19 and trying to pump some life back into that before we can see any action taken further on the Chiefs and Royals. But I do want to say that I feel very confident. I mean, this is the closest that we've been in the Missouri legislature all since the last year and a half, since the Jackson County 3A cent sales tax failed. Last time I was on this show, I was presenting a package that ultimately wasn't picked up. But this new version is a pretty good version. I mean, right now, the Chiefs and the Royals collect about $29, $27 million a year in tax revenue to the state. And so what essentially what this bill would do is would bond out the funding for the stadiums. And each year, what we would do is we would just recycle the money that comes in from their tax, from the taxes on these stadiums that they bring into the state, and then we use that to pay off the bonds, and that should be about a 20-year process. So depending on how big the project is. So, you know, right now our understanding is that the Royals want to move somewhere within the state, and then our understanding also is that the Arrowhead, the Chiefs, would like to expand. To what degree, I'm not sure yet, but Those are the things that we're considering, and we should be called back to the state capitol probably in the next couple of weeks.
Right now, we're joined by Mark Sharp. He is in the Missouri House of Representatives. He voted yes on the bill that would fund the Royals and a renovation for the Kansas City Chiefs. So it sounds to me like you are optimistic that there is a plan in place to get everybody on the same page here in the next 30 days to get this thing passed.
Oh, absolutely. This whole thing has been a roller coaster ride. You know, I've been trying to stay optimistic about this. We had a package earlier. It didn't see any traction. Now we have this new package from the governor. And I think it's a pretty good package. I mean, this way we're just recycling the money that comes in from tax dollars and using that same money to pay off the project in hopefully less than 20 years. So that's what we're looking at. I do think that we will be in a place where we can get this approved. When they call a special session, it's not – when I say they, I mean the supermajority, Republican supermajority. When they call us back down there, this all should be lined up. And I'll show being support to one, pass Senate Bill 19, the Capital Improvements Project, and then also the KC Stadiums package.
I got to ask this question as a skeptic here, as somebody that is listening. I mean, this package has already failed once. This bill has already failed once. What is stopping it from failing again?
Well, again, like insiders in Jeff City know that the real reason why Senate Democrats and some Senate Republicans, again, not from Kansas City, were filibustering that portion of the bill in Senate Bill 80 was because capital improvement projects in their districts, you know, and that could be in rural Missouri, or that could be in St. Louis, or that could be in the Boot Hill. It doesn't really matter. Those folks were more upset about their projects being essentially mixed from one person, and because of people not getting along. You know, Jeff City, it's supposed to be a place for adults, but sometimes you have You have childish things that happen, and Senate Bill 19 shouldn't have died. So I think we need to get that done first, and then we can go ahead and try to bring up this Senate Bill 80 again for another vote.
Yesterday, we had a representative on for the state of Kansas. Want to try to get both sides, I guess, comments, opinions on this. He categorized it as Kansas is in the driver's seat for both of the teams. Do you guys on the Missouri side feel that way? Do you feel like you've lost control of this thing to Kansas?
No, I don't. I don't. Now, one thing I will say, I get that this representative, they're trying to, bat for their state, and so I appreciate that rhetoric, but I don't believe that's true. I believe that both teams genuinely want to stay in Missouri. There was another package that was also passed. I'll go ahead and mention it now. That would create a Clay County Sports Commission, similar to what Jackson County has. So they are already laying the groundwork just in case that the Royals do want to move north. They'll have the infrastructure set up to do that. So I do think that we're taking the right steps. And, our plan might not be quite as hefty as the Kansas plan, but it's a sweetheart package, and I can't imagine either team's not wanting to take advantage of it.
I was just going to ask you, just looking at this, do you look at these deals as being comparable? Do you see the Kansas deal as being a better one for the teams? Do you see them as equal? If you are looking at both packages, how do you evaluate them against each other? What are the positives? What are the negatives?
Well, I think the Kansas package may be just a tad sweeter, but not much. Not enough to want to relocate. That's for sure. And again, Arrowhead, for Arrowhead to consider staying where they're at, which is a really pretty fairly convenient consideration with all the space they have around there. Imagine Kauffman Stadium, and again, I grew up going to, games at the K. I'm not really wild about seeing, the stadium knocked down in any capacity. But that might be where we're headed. And if the Royals move to Clay County or move downtown or whatever the case is, the Chiefs are going to have are going to be in a real good position to expand what might be some sort of a sports entertainment district. And I think a lot of folks would be excited about that.
Mark, if you could go back in the last, let's say, year or so, or since the vote failed in Jackson County, what would you do differently? Because, it just doesn't sound like this thing has been a very easy process, where on the other side of the state line, it does sound like it's been pretty straightforward. Hey, we know exactly where the money is going to come from. We did this with the NASCAR Speedway. We had great success. We offer you the exact same deal. One side seems very simple. The other side seems complicated in some ways. If you could go back now, what would you change over the last 12 months?
Well, we don't know what all went into them crafting this legislation on the Kansas side. Fortunately for them, they don't have any professional sports teams outside of the Kansas City Monarchs out there to have this issue with. So they were able to present it in a very well-polished whenever they were ready to present it. For us, this did catch us a little off guard. The whole campaign for the 3/8 sales tax last year seemed a bit rushed and hurried. One thing I would say that we should have probably done differently is this package that the governor has set forth. It's a shame that we couldn't have seen it and had a chance to vet that package much earlier in session. It was dropped on us in the last week of session, and I don't think that was intentional. I do think it just took a while for his administration and the powers that be in Jeff City to find something that would be presentable. I don't think that he was trying to hide his pitch, so to speak, before he delivered it.
That was Mark Sharp, who joined us on the show earlier today. If you guys want to hear the interview in its entirety, I would highly encourage you to check it out on 96.5thefan.com. Also on the Odyssey app. Coming up on the other side, hockey back, basketball back, game two of the Royal Series against the Giants. We got so much on television tonight. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
My name is Carrington. Rob is here. You're listening to The Drive. I know you guys get mad when we talk about the NBA, but it is the NBA playoffs, so I think you guys can understand. there are four superstars that are left in the NBA Finals, and none of them have a championship. Which of these guys would you most like to see win a ring? Would you like to see Anthony Edwards for the Minnesota Timberwolves? Would you like to see Shai Gilgeous-Alexander for the Oklahoma City Thunder? How about in the Eastern Conference? You got Jalen Brunson, a college star who has turned out to be a very, very good and productive NBA player. Or Tyrese Halliburton, played here in the Big 12, went to Iowa State. Rob, let me ask you this question. Who are you rooting for? Who do you want to see win a championship this year? Because I'm cheering for the Knicks. It would be fun to see them win a championship. We have seen a lot of cool things in our sports fandom. We saw the Cubs win the World Series. We saw the Red Sox win the World Series. We've seen the Royals win the World Series. We almost saw the Lions go to the Super Bowl. We've seen a lot of cool things. I want to see what's going to happen in New York City if the Knicks win the championship. I just want to see. I mean, if that's how they acted and carried themselves after winning in the second round against the Boston Celtics, can you imagine if they go all the way? Can you imagine if they win this series and they go to the NBA Finals? I think they're going to the NBA Finals. I'm cheering for the Knicks. I'm adopting the Knicks for the next month of the NBA season. Who you got?
Well, I can't in good conscience cheer for Jalen Brunson with another title. It happened once in college. It made me sick to my stomach. I didn't like it. It was a miserable experience. 0 of 10 stars, would not recommend. So he's out. He's not on it. I am fascinated by how New York handles it, but having New York be sad makes me happier. So
that's crazy.
For that reason, New York is out. Number two, I actually have no problem with the Wolves. The Wolves and Anthony Edwards, that would be fun. I got no beef with anyone on their team. I guess maybe a little bit Rudy Gobert because he was chirping before the Olympics, but he got what was coming. I have no problem with Anthony Edwards getting his first ring. So those two, all right, they're okay. Then Pacers, no. Tyrese Halliburton, uh-uh. I do not want Tyrese Halliburton and co. who just eliminated the one seed, the team I pull for, the Cleveland Cavaliers in the East, to win a title. No thanks, lose. I want, if the Knicks and Pacers could both lose to each other, I would cheer for that. They can't. So that leaves me with Oklahoma City. I would have no problem if SGA got his first title. I think it would be a fun story. I know he's playing his cousin in this series. That would be fun. Oklahoma City, while not as big or as exciting as Kansas City, is basically the RC Cola version of Kansas City. To see them win an NBA championship would be kind of cool as their one pro sport. So I think I'm pulling for Oklahoma City and SGA of that group.
Yeah, y'all can have it. I mean, I like Oklahoma City. I've been down there a handful of times. I've been to their arena to watch an NBA game. It's fun. I just want to see the Knicks win. I want to see Jalen Brunson. I like all the celebrities on the sideline. I like when they show the former Knicks in attendance. I like seeing, you know, John Starks and Larry Johnson and Stephon Marbury on the sideline. I like seeing Timothy Chalamet enjoying a little NBA basketball. I'm with it. I'm with it. I'm all in at this point with the Knicks. I'm cheering for them. If they win the championship, it'll be like I won the championship. That's who I'm cheering for. So I want to see Jalen Brunson. I think it's going to be the Knicks and the Timberwolves. That's what I placed a small wager on.
You keep betting against the Thunder. You've been against
the Thunder. Did you watch that last series against the Nuggets, who have two good players on their team?
You mean the one they had struggled? They had to play the best player on planet Earth?
Yeah, and now they're going up against the best player left in the playoffs, which is Anthony Edwards, who I actually think they're going to win tonight. I think they're going to steal game one. I think they're going on the road to steal game one. I think they're rested. I think they're ready to go. I also think they got enough size to neutralize Chet Holmgren. I think they're winning, man. They played four times in the regular season. It was tied 2-2. So I think we're locked in for a great series. I really do. I think it's going to be a really, really fun, good series between those two teams. You got the Royals tonight?
I do. I got the Royals tonight. We'll go win a series. Day game tomorrow for a sweep.
Am I going to see you tomorrow?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I'm not planning on coming up here tomorrow, but I mean, I can if you need me to. I'm actually hanging out with Aaron Ladd tomorrow. He is back in town. He says that he came in town to hang out with me. I don't know if I believe him or not, but that's what he told me.
It's Aaron Ladd, so
I'm just telling you what he told me, brother. I can only tell you what he told me, brother. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys had a lot of fun today. I'll catch up with you guys on Thursday. The Royals play tomorrow at 2:30, so I will not be here. Take care of yourself. It's The Drive.